start in chapter 20, but we will back up and look at some other passages. I've been looking forward to this morning and this hour as we're starting a new series. We're going to take a look at the I am statements of Jesus. And I know what it's like to sit where you're sitting and to hear the preacher say, we're going to start a series. That's not always something that is enjoyable. What if it's a series I'm not really crazy about and we're locked into it? I do have the lessons planned out, at least the ones that I want to cover, but we know that in our 9:30 hour, at least once a month, we have a singing or something different. But also along the way, I'm likely going to take a break here or there and bring in something different. So it's not going to be a solid series, but I do want us to take a look at the I am statements of Jesus. And I plan today to just dive right in with the first one, I am the bread of life. But as I was doing some study, I found a lot of material that really constituted introductory material. And so that's what I want us to do this morning as we are preparing our minds, preparing our hearts to sit at the feet of our Lord and to hear His I am statements and to study those and see what they mean to us. Let's look at some introductory material here. There's something different about the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are sometimes referred to as the synoptic Gospels. The material in them is very similar to each other. As we study them, we're familiar with the things Jesus does and the things Jesus teaches and the people He interacts with. Decades later, John wrote his gospel, and he doesn't present a different Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but he's addressing some issues that have arisen in the latter part of the first century that the church has to face. And so we see some different things about Jesus that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not present unto us. There are numerous themes that are woven throughout the Gospel of John. The primary one are the seven miracles that John records. That's what his book is built around. That's what the gospel is based on. That's made clear in John 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So the seven miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of John, that's what the book really is built around. But another theme woven through the book are the seven I am statements that Jesus makes. And that's what we're going to look at in our study here. In the I am statements, Jesus is telling us some specific things that He wants us to know about Himself. This understanding is meant to draw us closer unto Him and to increase our appreciation and our devotion unto Him. The I am statements of Jesus are filled with imagery and meaning, and each one adds depth and substance to our understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus can be to us if we would simply allow Him to do so. Think for just a moment about a precious gemstone that has been cut by someone who knows how to cut those stones. Those stones are covered with facets. And the way that is designed is that as you turn that gemstone, whether it be a diamond or another precious stone, as you turn it, the light is going to hit a different facet. And that brilliance is going to shine yet again. And you turn it a little bit more and it hits some other facets and it shines once again. Jesus is the same way. Being a member of the Godhead, we should expect Jesus to be very complex. Matter of fact, more complex than our finite minds are going to be able to fully comprehend. So as we look at His nature and we look at His character and His personality, we find Him to be many-faceted. Or we find Him to be complex. And as our Creator and our Sustainer, we can expect that Jesus is both able and willing to supply every one of our spiritual needs. And that's exactly what we find in the I am statements. In those statements, Jesus is fulfilling the longing and the need that we have. He's filling it perfectly and completely. He is the bread of life. We know how bread is important. He is the light of the world. We have to have light. He is the source of life. He is the way. He is our direction. He is our help. He is our deliverance. So Jesus, it lets us know, reveals unto us that He is all these things. He meets our greatest spiritual needs, every one of them in a perfect and complete way. And as He sets forth these I Am statements, and we'll look at them in their settings, and we'll see how it was that they came to be presented unto the people originally. As He does so, He's calling upon the people to believe these truths about Him, and more than just believe them, to act upon them. And that's the challenge that we will have as we study these statements. And what I want to do, I want to take the I Am statement, just I Am, and I want to take a look at that phrase or that statement in some different ways. First, let's consider the tense of the I Am statement. We know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Every word in Scripture is inspired by God, including the tense of the verbs. We make that point oftentimes when we look at Matthew chapter 22, and we look at God telling Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fact that I am is in the present tense is very significant. We know that Jesus is a real historical person, that He walked on the earth. He is not fiction. He is not a mythical figure. He lived 2,000 years ago, but He is still I Am. He is still a present reality. Jesus has not risen from the dead and continues to live figuratively in that the religion He started continues to thrive. There might be some who have that idea who want to suggest to us, no, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. He doesn't continue to live. He continues to live in the religion that bears His name. No. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He is sitting at the right hand of Him on high. And He, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, He always lives to make intercession for us. So when we are studying today, 2,000 years later, and we hear our Lord say, I am, He still is. This isn't something that He was and then ceased to be. He still is the bread of life. He still is the light of the world. And I want us to understand and appreciate that. The I Am statements remind us that our Savior is a present tense reality, ready and available to meet our present needs as we strive to follow His teaching in today's world. Jesus continues to be our Lord and Savior, Redeemer, King, High Priest, Advocate, Teacher, and Counselor. He remains involved in the lives of us as His followers. And unlike the founders of every other world religion, Jesus is not dead. Jesus lives. He is the I Am. I want to talk for a moment now about the significance of this phrase in the Greek text. You know me. I am not a Greek scholar. I'm not even ready to take those classes. I'm still working on English. As you know, I've got redneck down. I speak fluent redneck, and I'm working on English. Greek is Greek to me. We don't have to know the Greek to know the will of God. Do you need me to say that again? We don't have to know the Greek to know the will of God. God in His providence has seen to it that His Word has been translated into many different languages. The New Testament very quickly was translated into languages right after it was written, right after it was compiled. So it has always been translated into languages that people can read and people can understand. They can study it. They can apply it. God in His providence has seen fit that this is done. However, there are times when understanding something about the original language of Scripture can allow us to see things that can't be adequately represented in a secondary language. When it comes to the New Testament, English is a secondary language. It was written in Greek. Koine Greek, as a matter of fact. In the Greek text, the phrase "I am" in English, just three letters, is much more emphatic in the Greek text than it is in the English text. And so as the original readers of the Gospel of John reading in the Greek language, as they would have encountered these phrases, it would have been much more emphatic and impressive to them than it perhaps is to us in the English language. "I am" is translated from "ego ami." This appears 24 times in the Gospel of John. Literally, "ego ami" means I am, or I, even I am, or I certainly am. In the original language, the emphasis is on the I. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In using this, in saying this, as it's recorded originally in the Greek language, every I am statement made by Jesus is a powerful affirmation of the truths that Jesus is making about Himself. Contrary to ecumenicalism of today, Jesus never offered Himself as one of many different possibilities. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," that meant there is no resurrection and there is no life in anyone else. When He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," there is no life in anyone else. And so no wonder when we get to the book of Acts, we hear the apostles saying, "There's no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved. There is just one." Why do we know that? Because the I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that leaves room for no other. As we're studying the I am statements of Jesus, I want you to realize that Jesus is willing and able to meet our greatest spiritual needs in an exclusive and complete way. And that's brought out very effectively in the Greek language, in the Greek text. Well, we've considered it in English. It's in the present tense. It's a present reality. We've considered it in the Greek, that it's emphatic. Jesus is pointing to Himself, drawing attention to Himself. We read it in English. John wrote it in Greek. But the Jews who actually heard Jesus make these statements were hearing it in Aramaic. That was the language that was spoken in Israel during the time of Jesus. What did these Jews hear when they heard Jesus say, "I am the bread of life"? You know, as you're studying God's Word, you always want to begin right there in the context. What's happening there? What does it mean to them? So, before we get started with this study of these I am statements, how would they have sounded to Jewish ears? What did those who were hearing Him speak these things, what did they hear? To the Jews, the words "I am" had very special meaning. It would have struck a chord with them almost across the board. I've been trying the last few days to think of English counterparts to that. Let's see if any of these work. How do you respond, how do you react when you hear someone say, "We the people"? Does that not strike a chord in you as an American? We recognize that. We know where that's come from. We know what that represents. Or, "I have a dream." We know where that came from. We know what that represents. We know what all is involved in that. Well, the same thing was true for the Jews. When they heard, "I am," that struck a chord with them. They knew exactly what that meant. They were all familiar with what Jesus calls the burning bush passage. It's interesting. Mark in Mark chapter 12 and Luke in Luke chapter 20 both have Jesus referring to this passage in Exodus chapter 3 as the burning bush passage. They didn't have chapter and verse divisions, but they knew about the burning bush passage. What's happening in this passage? We recently studied the book of Exodus on Wednesday nights. God appears to Moses in that burning bush. "Take your sandals off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. I want you to go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." And Moses begins to find a way out of it. Remember? Well, in verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" I am was a name for God. It was a very significant name for God. It was a name for God that the Israelites connected with their birth as a nation, much like we the people. It took them right back to the beginning. Their birth as a nation, their deliverance from Egypt, their covenant with God through Moses, their homeland of Palestine, all these identities of theirs as a nation were connected with this name for God, I am. It was a name, a designation for God that emphasized His eternal nature. The fact that He has always existed. He's ever existing. Not I was, not I have begun, but I am. God is the ever-existing one, the ever-present one, and the ever-powerful one. Notice, brethren, what Jesus is doing. He is taking this name of God for Himself. And the Jews understood that. They recognized that. In John chapter 8, here's at the very end of this chapter, this is Jesus teaching them in the temple, not on the last week of his life, on a previous occasion. And there's some conflict here. There's some real problems that are going on here. At the very end of the chapter, John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They understood that. I am, that rang clear to them. How do we know they understood the significance of that? They start picking up rocks to throw at Jesus. They're going to stone Him to death because He has spoken blasphemies. He's taken on a name of God for Himself, and He does not have the right to do so if He is not indeed deity. But Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Their father Abraham was born. There was a time where he didn't exist, and then all of a sudden he existed. Jesus never had a beginning. Jesus is the great I am. He has always existed. You know what? John takes care of that with the very first verse in his gospel. Settles this matter of the preexistence of the Word in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. It doesn't say in the beginning the Word came into existence. No, in the beginning the Word was already there, already existed. The preexistence of Christ, when He says, I am, that would include everything that goes with preexistence. Divine knowledge and understanding. Divine unchangeableness and trustworthiness. Superior rank and absolute authority. Everything that makes Jesus worthy of our attention and our consideration, our worship, and our surrendering devotion is wrapped up in these I am statements. He is the divine one who fills every need that we have. Here in this conversation, in John chapter 8, as you back up earlier in the chapter, the Jews are arguing with him. They're resisting him. They're not accepting the things that he is saying. Look at verse 52. Verse 52, then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. You're talking crazy. You're talking out of your head. We know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. What are they doing here? In a way, what they're saying is, you think you're greater than Abraham? You think you're greater than the prophets? We know what the Jews thought of Abraham. They put him on a pedestal, right? We're children of Abraham. And they honored the prophets. And they're saying, you think you're as good as them? A few verses down, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Now understand what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is saying, you think I'm making myself equal with Abraham? You think I'm making myself equal with the great prophets? You're not thinking high enough. I'm greater than them. I'm on the level of deity. I am divine. And so as we study the I am statements of Jesus, we're going to be challenged as well to think even higher of Jesus. He's going to be saying, you need to come up here and you need to see me as who I really am and what I really can do for you. So he's going to call us to a higher understanding of himself. And just as I am refers to a self-existing one, Jesus is who he is. Jesus has never been dependent on an outside source to determine who he is. Jesus is not dependent on an outside source to tell man who he is. Bookstores are filled with books written by men and women who are trying to tell us who Jesus is. You know what? We're going to go straight to the source and we're going to let the great I am tell us who he is for himself. That's what we have in the I am statements. That is Jesus in his own words telling us who he is and what he desires to be for each and every one of us. So brethren, in the weeks to come, we're going to listen to Jesus. And we're going to listen to him in his own words reveal how he is the bread of life and what that means. He is the light of the world. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the great shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the true vine. And when we're finished with John, then we're going to go to the book of Revelation, also written by John. And there we're going to hear Jesus say that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who searches the hearts and the minds. He is the root and the offspring of David, and numerous times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am coming quickly. What does that mean? I'm really looking forward to this study together. We're going to learn some things about our Lord.